Well, if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Remain standing for the reading of God's Word. We continue. This is part 6. And so, Matthew chapter 6, I will begin reading in verse 5 this morning. Matthew 6, verse 5. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites. They love to stand and pray in the synagogues and the street corners that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others your trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others your trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Praise God for his holy word. Please be seated. Well, it was a wonderful weekend. Thank you to all those who helped out in so many ways with the youth for Disciple Now this past weekend as they got together and focused on knowing what they believe in and why they believe what they believed, and defending their faith in the study of apologetics. And we continue today looking at prayer. So today marks the seventh Sunday that we have sat under the preaching and teaching of Jesus Christ concerning prayer, slowly studying every word and phrase. In my own life, the study of these 10 verses has been extremely encouraging. It's been challenging and it's been convicting, and I hope the same has been true for you. I have personally been encouraged to spend more time in prayer, unplugging and just speaking with the Lord. I've been challenged to pray intentionally and not hypocritically, thinking about who I am talking to at all times and what I am saying. And I have been convicted by my lack of dependence upon the Lord, how I need prayer for all of my life to please the Lord. As I provide a summary of Jesus' words today, I hope that prayer has become a priority in your life. If you have made prayer a priority over the last 7 weeks, keep going to Him, keep praying, keep seeking Him. Be encouraged by what the Lord is doing in your life in the here and the now. Don't be discouraged if you have struggled to focus, had a wandering mind as you devoted yourself to prayer, or if you've just come before the Lord sitting in silence, not knowing what to say. This is all part of our sanctification as we devote ourselves more to the Lord and to prayer. If you have yet to make a daily change, I encourage you to start praying today. Get alone and enjoy talking with the Lord. It is for your good and God's glory that you seek Him in prayer. And perhaps you are not yet convinced that prayer is really all that important. R.C. Sproul said, "People who don't believe that prayer matters or that prayer works are people who simply don't pray." You may not believe that prayer is important because you simply don't pray. The Lord has commanded us as His children to pray, and what the Lord commands, you must believe it is for your good. If you believe that God's Word has authority over your life, you are to obey the Lord and pray. Prayer is a common grace for us to enjoy. It's a great privilege for us. The Gospel of Luke records the words from one of the disciples, "Lord, teach us to pray." And both the Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of Luke record the Lord's Prayer, and this prayer is recorded so that we know how to pray. Prayer was considered essential, a way of life in the Old Testament. God's children and prophets sought the Lord in prayer. The book of Psalms is full of prayers. The poor in spirit, as Jesus has already said in the Sermon on the Mount, the poor in spirit are those who spend time praying and seeking the Lord. And when the Messiah arrived in the New Testament, he did not do away with prayer, but he served as an example and teacher of how to pray. Oswald Chambers, we tend to use prayer as a last resort, but God wants it to be our first line of defense. We pray when there's nothing else we can do, but God wants us to pray before we do anything at all. Most of us would prefer, however, to spend our time doing something that will get immediate results. We don't want to wait for God to resolve matters in his good time, because his idea of good time is seldom in sync with ours. Jesus did not teach his disciples how to pray first. The first thing that Jesus taught his disciples was how not to pray. Matthew 6, verse 5, "And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites. They love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." So God expects his children to pray, but when they do, they are not to be hypocritical. In other words, we are to have a sincere mind when we are talking to the Lord. A sincere mind. That means a mind that is actually focused upon the Lord, a mind that is actually set on understanding that I am speaking now to the Lord. We don't utter things quickly and without thought. Just like everything else in our life, our heart is primary in whatever we are doing. Our outward appearance does not tell the entire story. It is the inward heart that tells the complete story, and the Lord knows every heart. When the disciples thought of prayer, they were witnesses to the religious leaders who prayed in the synagogues and who prayed at the street corners. We are witnesses of those who prayed during corporate worship. Hopefully we see and hear prayers in our own home, in Sunday school, in small groups, in discipleship groups, during the day. But we must not pray in order for others to see us. Our audience when we pray is to be the Lord. We also must not get alone by ourselves and pray to God with having a disconnected mind to what we are actually saying. It's like when we get in a car and we drive and we get from point A to point B and we don't remember actually getting in the car and driving. We dare not come before the Lord and pray, not remembering anything we talked to the Lord about. The disciples who asked Jesus to teach how to pray asked because they saw that when Jesus prayed, he did not gather a crowd. He got alone. He left the crowds. He went to a desolate place. He was not like the other religious leaders of the day. We must ask ourselves this question: do we like the audience of God, or do we like the audience of men more? We don't use empty phrases as we pray. We are not heard by God for our many words. We are heard if we have a sincere heart approaching him with all humility. Our mind is to be connected to what we are saying. If we just pray the same words every time, not thinking about the Lord or our words, this is hypocritical praying. Reciting words daily with no mind connection, that's not biblical prayer. Prayer is not casually speaking to someone as we scroll on our phone. We are speaking to the King of Kings. Reverence is required as we pray. As in all things, we are to fear the Lord. I was reminded from a preacher that I love to listen to, this is the problem with most churches. There is no fear of God. We should slowly come before the Lord, putting all other distractions aside. That may take some time. Our heart is supreme when we pray. Let us not be hypocritical or speak with disconnected words, vain, empty words. Jesus taught us to begin with the words, "Our Father in heaven," and He used those words intentionally. For our Lord is ruling and governing and looking over all things. He is taking care of all of His creation. He created us in His image. We are His, so we approach Him with great reverence. For without Him, we have nothing. We are dead in our sin. Truly, all we have is Christ, as we sang this morning. With Him, we have everything. We have forgiveness. We have justification, for we are in Christ. We are to pray to our Father in heaven. As His spiritual children, He is our Heavenly Father. We do not pray to any of His created creatures. We pray to Him. This is why, as evangelical Christians, as people who have been redeemed, bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, we don't bend our knee to anyone else. We bow before the Lord only. J.C. Ryle said, the Lord's Prayer consists of 10 parts or sentences. There is one declaration of the being to whom we pray. There are 3 prayers respecting His name, His kingdom, and His will. There are 4 prayers respecting our daily wants, our sins, our weaknesses, and our dangers. There is 1 profession of our feeling toward others. And there is 1 concluding ascription of praise. In all these parts, we are taught to say, we and our, for we are to remember others and not just ourselves. This model prayer that Jesus taught, it fixes our mind upon the Lord. It speaks of our material, our spiritual, and our moral daily need. In the words of John Stott, our needs supplied, our sins forgiven, our temptations overcome. What a prayer. So the last 6 weeks, I have summarized the Lord's teaching into 8 important truths. Truth number 1, prayer is speaking to the Lord. Prayer is speaking to the Lord. The Lord is our audience. Whether private or corporate prayer, we are talking to the Lord. In our prayers, we should be overwhelmed with the truth that God actually hears us. That we have always needed the Lord. We have always needed communion with Him, and God has graciously given us prayer. I mean, if we ever get exhausted with the fact that we have the great privilege and joy of praying, you are actually saying that I am exhausted with the truth that the King of Kings and Lord of Lords allows me to talk with Him. Truth 2, prayer is about the Lord being honored as holy in our life and the lives of His children. His holiness is to be our supreme focus in our prayers. Above all, our prayers are to be about the holiness of God. Above all, let us think about that for a moment. Because I think if we're honest, especially over the last 6 weeks, if I have examined my own prayer life and thought more and more about the Lord, I have asked to actually come away with something thinking, Lord, I spend too much time talking about me and my desires. I need to spend more and more time in my prayers talking about You and Your holiness and desiring Your holiness, Your kingdom, Your will to be done in my life. Above all, for many of us, this requires us to change how we pray. We need to stop rushing into the presence of God, asking for so many things. We need to submit to the Word of God, letting His teaching, His words guide us as we pray. You know, it's interesting. There are so many books about prayer. There's so many prayers that are recorded throughout history. There's so many sermons and teachings about prayer. And yet, one of the most neglected things within the church is praying how the Lord taught us to pray. God's holiness is to be studied. God's holiness is to be sung about. God's holiness is to be taught. And God's holiness is to consume our prayers. The holiness of God needs to move from a theological truth in our life and be on display in how we live and how we pray. Prayer is about the Lord being honored as holy. Point three, prayer is about the Lord's kingdom and the Lord's will being done. If we are approaching the Lord only concerned about our will, we are not following the way that Jesus taught us to pray, nor his model, or how he himself prayed while he was on this earth. Over and over and over again, you find Jesus saying, not as I will, but as you will. That the Lord's eternal kingdom is to consume our prayers more than the temporary physical needs of men. I hope you understood that. I've been involved in so many prayer meetings in which everything is about surgeries and nothing has been said about God's eternal kingdom. Let us not be found guilty for not praying for the salvation of souls, not praying about God's kingdom, not praying about God's will, not seeking his will in our life, and only praying about the things of the here and the now. John Stott said, true Christian prayer is always a preoccupation with God and his glory. So let us pray about God's will being accomplished in our life and the life of the Lord's church. Let us pray for our desires to fade away and God's will to be embraced. Let us pray for less distractions, more obedience. Let us pray for maturity and us living for the Lord by his strength, not our own. And the Lord's kingdom and the Lord's will is to be present in our prayers. Number four, prayer is about changing us, not God. Prayer is about changing us and not God. Our dependence upon the Lord in prayer draws us into the Word of God, the will of God, and the commands of God. Our prayers do not benefit God. Not one bit do our prayers benefit the Lord. Prayer is always about benefiting us. God is thrice holy. He is perfect. He's not lacking in anything. He is separate. He is a cut above all. Therefore, the Lord doesn't need you. We need the Lord. The Lord is all-knowing. The Lord is all-powerful. Prayer is of no benefit to him as if he needed something. It is completely our benefit. It is a great grace in which he has given to us. We need change. We need maturity. We need humility. We need wisdom. We need to be reminded of who he is. That's a big aspect of prayer. We're reminded of who God is, and we're reminded that we are not like him in so many ways. And we have a great need for him because he supplies everything for us to live a life that pleases him. We need to daily acknowledge that he is God. That he has given us everything, that we are here to serve him. Prayer changes us. Prayer does not change God. Point five, prayer is about the needs of today. Asking the Lord for our daily bread. This does not mean that we do not pray about the future, but we are primarily occupying ourselves and our prayers with glorifying God this day. Today is all that we can handle. There is enough on our plate in striving to please the Lord this day. Our strength is dependent upon the Lord. Our health is dependent upon the Lord. You might have done many things in your own strength, but the Lord is the one who will determine what actually happens, what occurs. So prayer about today's daily bread for the Lord is important because the Lord must give it. Number six, prayer includes asking our Heavenly Father for forgiveness. This one should still shock us. We can still come before the one who is holy and righteous and cut above everything else, and we can ask the Supreme King for forgiveness for our sins each and every day. That our Supreme King is without sin, and he calls us to never stop coming to him for forgiveness. We can never burden the Lord. The Lord is not too busy. The only one who is too busy is us. I'm often burdened by a truth that John Piper uttered years ago. He said, if social media is of anything valuable for our life, it's valuable to show that we obviously had time to pray. When we don't have time to talk to God and to confess our sins, you can be assured that you are not keeping watch on your life or your doctrine. If we don't have time to come before the Lord and talk to the one who has made us, you're not watching your life and you're not watching your doctrine. If we don't pray, I don't know how we can have a life that is focused on God's will and God's kingdom. Our prayers are to include asking the Lord for the forgiveness of our sins, naming them and turning from them and turning towards the Lord, realizing that we truly have everything that we need in Christ and Christ alone. If we pray asking for forgiveness while not forgiving others, we are puffed up with conceit, living a hypocritical life. Failing to forgive, that damages our relationship with the Lord. How can we daily ask for forgiveness and not forgive others? Our sin against God is much greater than those seeking our forgiveness for their sin against us. If we find ourselves holding a grudge, not forgiving others, if we find ourselves bitter, angry, and resentment, let us remember the forgiveness of God. Remember where you were once you were dead and now you are alive, and that's because you did nothing. That's because Christ did everything. If you still don't forgive, hold up high the Word of God in your life. Just don't say and utter the words sola scriptura. Actually live it out. Hold up the Word of God. Examine yourself. Look for fruit. Maybe you are in need of salvation. Those who have received the forgiveness of God, they forgive others. Our daily relationship with God, our daily prayers, should not suffer because we refuse to forgive. Number 8, we are to pray for today's spiritual battles. Every single day is a spiritual battle. And every moment we need deliverance from evil. We need to pray for the church to fully submit to God and for God to be glorified throughout all of His creation. Today is a spiritual battle. God has saved His children, but today we are pilgrims who have not yet arrived home, and we are at war. We need to pray for deliverance from today's evil. We need to submit to God's will and His commands. And by the way, you cannot submit to God's will and God's commands. You cannot understand His will and pray biblically without knowing the Word. You cannot break these apart and make them different. They are all connected. We need to ask the Lord that He cause our life and the lives of His children around the whole world to please Him. The Lord's Prayer teaches us to come before Him, not being rushed, not in a hurry, but to come and get comfortable talking to Him about all of life. It's a great enjoyment. Maybe we should picture it kind of like a buffet. You grab your plate and with patience you walk around and you get different things. You go and you sit down, you feast. And then you go and you grab another plate and you go around again and you sit down and you feast. We need that type of patience as we're praying. The Lord's Prayer teaches us to come before Him, not rushed, not in a hurry, but to seek Him in prayer. And as J.C. Ryle pointed out, Jesus taught us to pray using the words we and our. Our prayers are not just about us. They are to include the church, all of God's children. Jesus Himself, He taught us to pray, our Father, not my Father. Give us, not give me. Forgive us, not forgive me. Lead us, not lead me. Deliver us, not deliver me. Our Father, give us, forgive us, lead us, deliver us. We are to be in prayer for the Lord's church. I truly believe that if men and women in this room would daily pray for their own families by name, every soul in the church by name, we would see a greater obedience to God's word and God would be more glorified in our lives. I believe if we would pray for all of God's children around the world asking for his kingdom to come, praying for more workers of the harvest, for his will to be done, there would be more souls in this room willing to go, willing to evangelize, and willing to make disciples. Our prayers are to be before the Lord as unhurried, and they are to also involve not just us, but others. These eight truths concerning our daily prayers help guide us as we talk to the Lord. And so today, as we seek to be men and women of prayer, here are a few reminders that help you battle discouragement as you pray. Reminder number one, God is sovereign. God is sovereign even when we don't understand and when we think that God is not listening. In this teaching, we are reminded in verse 8 of God's sovereignty. Your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. I know I'm a broken record, always speaking of God's sovereignty, but the sovereignty and providence of God should bring us great comfort as we pray. Many of us have been praying about our many, many struggles. We have been praying for the salvation of loved ones for years. We have been praying for the many needs of those in this church. We've been asking, begging the Lord for spiritual growth that can only be explained by the Lord. And year after year, our requests, it's not like our requests become shorter. They become longer. They become more concerning. We have more burdens. It is of great comfort to know that God knows what you are going to ask before you ask. That God cares, that God hears, that He is ruling over all of His creation at all times. That when we lack faith, He is faithful and He does not change. Last week from Sunday school, that not one sparrow falls to the ground without the Lord knowing it. Matthew 10, verse 29, that when we don't understand, He is ruling and He sees. That when we don't think that God is listening, He is listening, He hears you. And even when you don't speak it out of your mouth, He knows. That the sovereignty of God is a pillow on which we can always lay our head. That God ordains the ends and the means. It's clear from Scripture that God's purposes come forth through the prayers of His children. Just like the preaching of the gospel saves the elect who were predestined before the foundation of the world. The Lord cares about all things, including the sparrow without a soul. What a special and undeserved love that the Lord has for His children. A God who says, come to me all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give to rest. Come to me and pray without ceasing. Come and talk to me. Lift all your burdens up. Give them to me. Let me handle them because I can take care of them. You cannot. God is sovereign even when we don't understand and we think He is not listening. Reminder number two, Jesus prayed. Luke 5, but He will withdraw to desolate places and pray. Mark 1, and rising very early in the morning while it was still dark, He departed and went out to a desolate place, and there He prayed. Matthew 14, immediately He made the disciples get into the boat and go before Him to the other side while He dismissed the crowds. And after He had dismissed the crowds, He went up on the mountain by Himself to pray. At no point in this life as God's children, as pilgrims, should you ever be content without prayer. We are never above our Master. The Son of God departed from others. He dismissed the crowds. He got by Himself. And He prayed. Jesus Christ prayed. Therefore, it is not meaningless. Jesus had perfect theology and He prayed. All of your doctrine should never ever lead you to say, God is sovereign. He will do what He wants. So I will just not pray. May that never be. Jesus prayed. Jesus taught us to pray and commands us to pray. So simple. Pray. We should, as God's children, be men and women who are spending time in prayer. Reminder three, don't stop praying because you feel like it. There are probably lots of things in your life, lots of things in my life, in which we feel like we should not be doing, but we actually should be doing those things. 1 Thessalonians 5, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So all of our life is to be lived with the attitude of prayer, a continual pursuit of the Lord, having our minds and our hearts fixed upon the Lord. Ephesians chapter 6, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. Take up the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. So in all circumstances we pray. We are to pray at all times in the Spirit of God, and we are to make supplication for all the saints. He uses the word all intentionally multiple times. So we rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In all circumstances we are to pray, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication, and we make supplication for all the saints. James chapter 5, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. If he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. You might feel like you're at the end of your rope and all hope is gone. It isn't. Pray. I'm not saying that God will give you exactly what you want. God's not in that business. He's about His will and His glory. But as you are praying, God will conform you more into the image of Christ, and you will become content and satisfied with Christ alone. Your time on this earth will end precisely when God has ordained it. It is never a waste to talk to the Lord. Spiritual labor without dependence upon the Lord is walking the fool's path. Many of us in the Christian church, we have become so content with spiritual labor that we've gotten to the point where we don't need to talk to the Lord about it. We just do spiritual things, laboring to please the Lord, when in fact we're not pleasing Him. Don't stop praying because you don't feel like it. It could be that you don't feel like praying because you can't remember the last time you read the Word of God. You will not know how to pray or be faithful to pray if you do not remain a student of the Word. So, like, wait, Pastor, are you saying right now that the Lord has taught us how to pray as He sat on the side of the mountain teaching to His disciples, but you're saying if I don't remain a student of the Word of God, then I won't pray correctly? Yes, absolutely I'm saying that. If you think you can just learn how to pray and never open up the Word of God, are you saying that you just want to talk to God, but you don't want God to talk to you? Reminder number 4, we are all wretched. We are all wretched. The excuse of, I don't feel like I should be able to come before the Lord and talk. I don't feel like, you know, I'm good enough. Great. We're all in the same boat. We are all wretched. Romans chapter 7, I do not understand my own actions. For I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want, it's no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do what is right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, Who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. I love those words connecting. It's like there is no deliverance from all this evil without Christ. So then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. Our flesh is battling our spirit at all times. You miss a day of praying, you miss another day of praying, and before you know it, it's been a week without you getting alone with God and talking to Him. In fact, the average Christian prays less than 5 minutes a day. The Lord has opened your eyes to your sin. Repent and spend time in prayer. You are just like everybody else in the world. We all stumble in many ways. We are all wretched. This is what it's about. We all need Christ. We're all wretched. Don't give up. Get up. Dust yourselves off. Set reminders and pray. And you get up not by your own strength. You get up by going to the Lord and talking to the Lord. There are many examples of godly men in the Scriptures. There are many men and women in church history who were entangled with sin, and they were confronted with the truth, and they went to the Lord first by asking for forgiveness as they prayed. So reminder one, God is sovereign even when we don't understand, when we think He's not listening. Reminder two is that Jesus prayed. Reminder three, don't stop praying because you feel like it. And reminder four, we are all wretched. And the most important reminder, reminder number five, Jesus is always interceding for His children. When you are not praying, you can be assured your Savior is praying for you. Hebrews chapter 7, the former priests were many in number, because they were prevented by death from continuing in office. But He holds His priesthood permanently because He continues forever. Consequently, He is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through Him, since He always lives to make intercession for them. It was indeed fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, innocent, unstained, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. He has no need, like those high priests, to offer sacrifices daily, first for His own sins, and then for those of the people, since He did this once for all when He offered up Himself. For the law appoints men in their weaknesses as high priests, but the word of the oath, which came later than the law, appoints a son who has been made perfect forever. Our failures do not result in Christ letting go of us. Jesus is always serving as the mediator of His children. He is always at work at every moment interceding for those who are His. At this very moment, Jesus is in heaven. He is upholding us and He is praying for us. Richard Baxter said, "By faith, look to the perpetual intercession of Christ. Oh, remember that He is not weak when we are weak. If you heard Christ pray for you, would it not encourage you to pray?" Isaac Ambrose said, "Christ is not weary of serving you. When you have done your duties, He takes your persons and your duties and presents all unto His Father. He prays over your prayers, continues praying and saying, 'Lord, accept this short, poor, imperfect service done on earth for my sake.'" R.A. Torrey said, "I know of nothing that has so impressed upon me the sense of the importance of praying at all times and being constantly in prayer as the thought that this is a certain main business of the risen Lord." You see, many times as Christians, we have this idea that Jesus Christ, He came, He did His work, He lived a perfect life, He died on the cross, He rose from the grave, He ascended into heaven, and He's just waiting there sitting, doing nothing until He returns, but He's praying for every single child. God is sovereign even when we do not understand and when we think He is not listening. Jesus Christ, he taught us to pray. He himself prayed. He got away. He pulled away from the crowds and everybody else. I loved it. It's like he was having church and he said, go away. I need to talk to the Lord. Don't stop praying because you feel like it. We are all wretched sinners, and yet the Lord says, pray without ceasing. And reminder five, Jesus is always interceding for his children. If you're not encouraged to pray by the truth that your Savior is praying for you, there's not much else I can say. Jesus Christ has taught us how to pray so that we will not just have a theological truth in our mind, but we will actually devote ourselves as brothers and sisters in Christ to coming before the Lord and spending time in prayer. So this final question that I leave with you is, what will you actually do? I mean, we've had over 2 months of talking about prayer, taking notes about prayer, hearing sermons on prayer, reading the scriptures about prayer. Will we actually make prayer a priority in our life, or will we just move on to the next topic and do nothing? The Lord is not pleased if we just come before him and we hear teaching on something, but we don't seek to apply it to our life for his name and for his glory. I often am reminded, and I'm thankful for this, I have another brother in Christ in this church who is a slow reader. I'm a very slow reader. I try to process things. I think through things. I take notes. And I often get sometimes kind of hypocritically, sarcastically poked at because I read slowly. My end game in opening up the Word of God, my end game in reading a book is never to get through the Bible or to get through the book as fast as I possibly can. My end goal is, Lord, I want this to conform me more into the image of your Son. I want you to show me through the truth of your scriptures that you have taught me how to live this way and how to function in this life. And I want to be dependent upon your holy word and actually make your holy word a part of my daily life so that I actually do praise you. And so my goal is to not get through a book on prayer. My goal is to not get through a sermon on prayer. My goal is to actually be a man of God who prays. That the Lord would give me lasting change, not temporary highs. That I would be a man who actually prays in the wee hours of the night, who prays when they rise up in the morning, that I'm thinking about the Lord as I go to bed, I'm thinking about the Lord as I wake up, I'm thinking about the Lord as I go throughout my day, and I am praying, talking to the Lord. For many of us, our culture has morphed our life into thinking we must have immediate results, we must have this now, we must get it now. That's too long to wait, and yet we are often slow to learn and slow to change. We need to keep coming before the Lord, and we need to keep praying if we're going to be men and women of prayer. So I ask you again, will you take what God has breathed, what God has taught, what God has said, and how the church is to pray, and let's change those stats and actually be men and women who spend time praying as the Lord has taught us to pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you. Father, we acknowledge that we need you. Above all, Lord, we desire in our life that you be honored as holy. We desire that our life be about your kingdom, that our life be about your will, just as it is in heaven. Help us to focus upon our daily needs, Lord, so that we would please you. Help us to come before you with great thankfulness, reminding us, Lord, that we have everything in Christ. Help us to be a thankful people, a people who pray, a people who would get before you and find rest and comfort, a people who would not get caught up in everything that is around us, but we would devote ourselves to you. Lord, this can only be done by your Spirit, by your power. Develop in this church and in all of your churches, men and women who pray, who are fully and utterly dependent upon you for all things. That no matter what happens to us, Lord, that whatever would please you more, whatever would glorify you more, that that would happen in our life. Even if our struggles and our pain is not removed, do whatever is necessary so that you are glorified more. Lord, teach us to pray. To be men and women who not just know what your word has to say, but show us how to apply the Sermon on the Mount to our life so that we live a life that is fully pleasing to you. Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you for your holy word. Lord, how blessed we are as your people to gather together. It's in Christ's name we pray and ask all these things. Amen.